Amen. Thanks, Mark. Mark has become a very dear friend to me, and just appreciate his voice in my life. And I hope if you haven't got to know him and his wife Anne better yet, I hope that you will. They're amazing people. Well, today we are starting a new series in the book of Proverbs, a series that we're calling Home Wise, because this is a time in life where we are living life out of the home more than, I guess you would just say, normal. Because for many people, home is not only the place of home life, but it's also the place of, for many, work life, educational life. Just a shout out to every parent that has now become a homeschooling parent. They didn't plan to be a homeschooling parent like 6 months ago, but here you are now. We're praying for you. We're with you. We're trying to figure out everything that we can do to support you in that. But so much of life is being led out of the home. So we might as well make our homes great places to live, right? And one of the attributes that we can develop in our homes that can make our homes great places to live is the attribute of wisdom. Now, wisdom might sound a little bit like an old-fashioned word, because in some sense it is. I mean, wisdom it can seem a little bit old-fashioned in this age of information. And that's why, as we start off, I just want to make to define wisdom a little bit. First, by defining what wisdom is not. Here's what wisdom is not. Is information is not wisdom. I mean, we live in an age where we have tremendous amounts of data at our fingertips. I was seeing this recently. Like, every person alive today generates, on average, 1.6 megabytes of data per second. That's incredible, isn't it? Especially when you think about 1.6 megabytes. Like that, if you're recording that strictly as text, that would be about as much text as in a Bible. It's about 1.6 megabytes of text. You're generating that all the time through our little photos, our little Fitbits. We are broadcasting data all the time. And if it sometimes feels like people are watching, that's because they are. I always feel like somebody's watching me. Look. And do 90s songs run through my head pretty much all the time? Yes. Yes, they do. But this is from the stuff that we just share. You know, you're sharing it from your Fitbit, you're sharing it from your phone. We are generating data on an ongoing basis. We are swimming in information, and information can be great. I mean, you could right now, and I'm going to play with somebody's devices at home. Hey Alexa, how tall is Mount Everest? Now, somebody at home, you just had an experience in your living room for that. But so you can find out information on almost anything that you want in any given moment. It is incredible. And information on some level is good, but we need to remember also that information is a little bit like food. It's something that we need, but we live in an age where we're not just getting the food that we need. We have an incredible abundance, even an overabundance of food. It's a little bit like you could imagine our lives in our data streams between our mobile devices and our computers and our cable news and our news feeds, all of those things. It's a little bit like you are at an all-you-can-eat buffet just all day long. Oh, lemon pudding, lasagna, I think. And just keep going, you know. What's that? Casserole. That tastes a little bit like beets. Avoid that part. Move on a little bit further. Oh, this is getting better. But it's like that. It's like that. We are eating nonstop. And if you've ever been a fast eater, and I sometimes am, I am embarrassed to say this. My dear wife is so patient with me. She's been working on me for 25 plus years and is making, at times, a little bit of progress on this one. Right, honey? Maybe. Okay, we'll find out. But if you're a fast eater, it means that you might be bringing in a lot of food, but you're not actually tasting it very well. Or to make this illustration just a little bit grosser, can you imagine having to clean the bathroom for somebody that is eating constantly and digesting hardly at all? And yet that's kind of the world that we're living in terms of information. We've got data coming at us nonstop. I saw another nerdy little thing that 90% of the world's data right now, like on computers, has been generated in the last 2 years. So we are creating more information than ever before at a faster rate than ever before. But information alone is not wisdom. Information can be good, but when information doesn't go digested, when information isn't thought about, you know, rationally and constructively and creatively and thoughtfully and wisely, just like food that is undigested, it can get really gross really fast. And as you look around at the world around us, I think we're starting to see some of the signs of that. Just absolute information overload and starving for wisdom. That's why I think it is so incredibly important that we get to the ancient sources of wisdom. The ancient sources of wisdom. So information is not wisdom. Information is fine, except for we can get too much of it. But here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is how to think, how to feel, and how to live. Now, certainly it's more than that. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at those things. But it is not less than that. Wisdom shows us how to think, how to feel, and how to live. See, one of the ideas that the Bible presents to us is that just like the physical world has a creator, just like God created the world, and through that, you know, here's a giraffe, here's a butterfly, here's the color purple, all these wonderful things, and there are physical laws around us, like the law of gravity. You know, you jump off a cliff, you'll fall. You know, the laws of momentum, the physical laws of momentum, just like all of those things have been put in place by a loving creator, there's also a moral universe. There's a moral law to things. There are just like there's light and darkness in the physical world, there's right and wrong in the moral world. And the same creator that created the physical world created the moral world and wants to guide us in wise pathways through that moral world. Now, the challenge we have is that, of course, we live in a fallen world. And so discovering right and wrong can be more complicated because I'm a sinner, which means I don't see the world rightly, and I'm messing things up all the time. You're a sinner, which means you don't see the world rightly and you mess things up all the time. We're all sinners everywhere. But the idea of wisdom is that underneath all the wreckage and rubble of the moral decay around us, there are pathways of morality that have been established from the foundation of the universe by God. There's a grain to the wood of creation in terms of morality. It flows in certain directions. There are rivers underneath all the rubble where clean water actually flows. And wisdom is learning how to identify the directions of morality and to walk in those ways. The directions that and pathways that God himself designed. So that's wisdom. It's turning to God to learn how to think, how to feel, and how to live. And so today we're going to do just a bit of an overview of what wisdom is, invite you or give a bit of an overview of some of the things we'll discover in the book of Proverbs, some of the general themes, and answer, hopefully, the question why it's so important for us to be seeking wisdom, and then challenge us to take some of those steps together over the next 8 weeks. You with me? Yeah, okay. So as we are entering into the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 starts off with this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or in later similar verses, it'll say knowledge or wisdom, or you could think of it as deep knowledge, not just information, but true understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but what's that next word? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you're taking notes, here's something you might find helpful. Is the book of Proverbs, it kind of simplifies people groups into four general categories. Now, we know that the larger picture is people aren't necessarily easily categorize these ways. It's more of a continuum. But sometimes having a more simplified view of the world helps us to identify those general patterns. And that's what Proverbs does for us. And so the first category of people that we need to be able to identify, and the trait that we need to be able to identify in ourselves, first type of people, is the foolish or the fool. That's person number one. You could, if you're taking notes, person type number one is the fool. That's somebody who doesn't know and doesn't care that they don't know. So Proverbs 12:15 puts it this way: the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. You probably have people in your life that they've got very strong opinions, but don't confuse them with the facts. That's the definition of the fool. I don't know, and I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care. So I'm going to take whatever information is coming in, and I'm going to bend it to my own reality, as opposed to bending my understanding to the great, to the reality of the world around me. Now, don't point at anybody. Okay, but that's the first category of people. Is the fool. The second category is this. It's a little more compassionate, and that's the simple. Say with me, the simple. The simple. The simple. That's somebody that just simply doesn't know. And all of us are come into the world as simple. There's things we need to learn. There's things I don't know. But that category will show up in the book of Proverbs. The simple. The simple. The great thing about being simple is that you don't need to stay simple. And there's nothing, there's no, what's the right word? But there's no negativity around the word simple necessarily. That just is. It just means there's something that you don't know. But when we're simple, we can seek information, we can seek wisdom, and we can grow. But that's the second category. Here's the third category that you'll see is the people that would be categorized as the evil, the sinful, or the wicked. Now, we know that on some level, theologically, that's all of us. But Proverbs kind of simplifies things to the category that says that there are people that, in general, they are just oriented towards wrong. So there are evil people in the world. There are wicked people in the world. There are sinful people in the world. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, it tells us how to identify the evil person, the wicked person, the sinful person. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, in other words, arrogant eyes or superior eyes. Just maybe if you're sitting next to somebody, give him a set of haughty eyes. I don't know. Haughty eyes. Give him your arrogant eyes. If you're doing that, you're acting evil right now, okay? So that's the arrogant eyes, the cocky eyes, superior eyes, the lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So arrogant people, lying people, people that cause violence, people that hurt, especially those who hurt the innocent, those who rush into doing wrong, those who are fostering dissension in the community. Those are attributes of wicked, evil people. That's the third category of person that we'll see as we journey through the book of Proverbs. And then, of course, the fourth one is the person who's wise, the person who is following God and desires understanding. They're actively looking for advice. They're actively looking to learn. They're actively looking to grow. They are people who are teachable. Say that with me, teachable. Are you teachable? I don't know. If you're with your spouse, you know, ask them, am I teachable? Okay, well, maybe we can talk about that a little bit later. But that's the attribute of wisdom, is I'm following God and I'm actively seeking understanding. Now, so here some other things to know about this is where does wisdom come from? Well, all wisdom ultimately comes from God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So wisdom comes from God. We grow in wisdom by seeking God, seeking His instruction, seeking His correction, seeking for Him to modify our lives as opposed to Him just doing what we hope that, you know, He'll do. We're not giving orders to the master of the universe. We're asking the master, the Lord of the universe, the author of all creation, both the physical world, the spiritual world, the moral world. We're asking that God to instruct us. Wisdom comes from God. Here's why we need to seek wisdom. Here's why we seek wisdom. Is that God blesses our lives through wisdom. In fact, it's the number one way that God brings material blessing into our life. So when we say, God, would you bless me and would you bless my family? The number one way that God wants to bring that kind of blessing into your life, because, you know, the material blessing, the legacy blessing, the good name, the honor, the health, the long life, all those things that we long for. Wisdom is the number one means by which God does that. In other words, he's saying, I want this for you, but for me to give that to you, I need to make changes in your life. I need to develop wisdom in your life. I need you to learn better pathways of living. It's the number one way that God wants to bless our lives. Now, this might be a good point to bring up something about Proverbs, is that Proverbs aren't promises. Now, we are going to look at least one promise regarding wisdom in the scriptures just a little bit later in the service, but the proverb on its own isn't necessarily a promise. It's sound advice. It's getting our lives in alignment with the deeper morality of the world, the deeper right and wrong that we may or may not be able to always see in the moment. You know, because there's all the wreckage and rubble of human sin on top of the moral world that's underneath. So a proverb isn't a promise, but what it is it's very, very sound advice. As we live in these general directions, as we live by these general pathways, life will generally go well. And we see promises like this in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. Or if you've already started to read along with the little Proverbs plan that I challenged the church online to join me in, you're reading in Proverbs chapter 4 on Friday. And the entire chapter is just kind of giving this long list of things that will happen if we follow in the pathways of wisdom, of long life and protection and honor and legacy. So there's all these good things that can result from seeking God through wisdom. So how do we spot wisdom? How do we see it in the world around us? Well, this is where we're going to jump quickly to the book of James. So if you've got your Bibles open, we're going to be in James chapter 3. Because here's how to spot wisdom when wisdom shows up in our lives. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from, what's the word? Wisdom. From deeds come from the humility. Deeds done, I'm missing that, here we go. Done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And it gets to verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. In other words, there's both true wisdom in the world and there's also fake wisdom. Kind of like there's true news and there's fake news. And one of the best things we can do with our information is tell the difference between what's actual news, what's truthful, and what's just make-believe. It's just somebody trying to manipulate the system. There's true wisdom, and there's fake wisdom. There's false wisdom. There's earthly wisdom. And so just because somebody is really ambitious and really cocky or really, you know, really self-assured, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a wise person to follow. And so passages like this, they remind us of, you know, to how to tell the difference between true wisdom and false wisdom. Because there's going to be both of those things around us. And then we get down to verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom, verse 17, that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. So that's how to spot true wisdom. And one of the things I'd like to challenge us to do as we're taking this journey through the book of Proverbs together is to be looking for the wise people that God has already placed in your life. Now, the wise people in your life, they may not be the flashy people in your life. They may not be showing up on the screens in your life. They may not be a social media influencer. They may not be a news commentator, or maybe they are. But to look for the traits that the Bible tells us are traits of wise people, to look for that, to pay attention to that in our lives so that we can listen to those voices in our lives in response to that. So here's what I'd like us to do as we look to apply God's word is I want to invite you, so if you're at home or here in the room, to just take a moment and to close your eyes. We're going to go through that list again. You know, just the attributes that are listed in James chapter 3, verse 17. We're just going to read that verse, really. And as I'm reading those attributes, chances are a person is going to come to mind. A face is going to, you know, emerge in your imagination. There are probably people that God has already placed in your life that are embodying many or perhaps all of these traits. And we can use the scriptures to orient our hearts to identify true wisdom so that we can follow it and we can grow in it. So let's listen together. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, sincere. I'll read that again. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, sincere. You can open your eyes if you like. If you're at home, you can open your eyes. If you're driving, I hope you had your eyes open the entire time. But there are people that are in your life, and God has placed them there. There are people who have been walking in wisdom for some time. And if we're looking to grow in wisdom, and I hope that you are, one of the ways that we can grow is by recognizing it around us, in the people around us. And they will not necessarily be the people that our culture pays attention to, but we need to. So let's seek biblical wisdom. See, because one of the great promises about wisdom, and we find this in James chapter 1, verse 5. There's a fantastic promise about wisdom. And it just flows out of the heart of God, the good Father that we know through Jesus Christ. A Father who loves you passionately and wants good things for your life. That same God invites us to live into this promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generous to who? All. In other words, everyone who asks, God will give increasing wisdom to, without finding fault. Isn't that great news? You don't need to earn wisdom. You just need to ask for wisdom. Because you know what? All the faults in your life have been already redeemed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through his death on the cross. Jesus has paid it all for you, and which means that there's nothing stands between you and God the Father. And so when you ask God the Father for help, and he says, ask me, this is the promise we can live into. This is a promise we can claim. If any of you lacks wisdom, he, she, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be, what's that third to last word? Given. It will be given to you. Thank you, Jesus. We can grow in wisdom. And so, here's where we're going to land today. So we're starting off the series. We're going to spend 8 weeks in the book of Proverbs. 8 weeks. All of September, all of October. We're going to grow as people of wisdom, because we know that as we grow in wisdom, it not only enhances our lives, but it makes the lives of the people around us better as well. It is the best way, one of the best ways, I should say, to strengthen our homes. Wise homes are happy homes. And so I want to challenge you around this question is, do you want to grow in wisdom? Do you want to grow in wisdom? I want to grow in wisdom. And so I want to challenge you to three things. Is first is that we would seek wisdom from God. Why? Because God is the source of wisdom. And so, which is one more reason among many why staying in the Word is incredibly important. I hope that you are in the Word. I hope that you're in the Word daily. And here's something I'd like to invite you to join me in doing. Proverbs has 31 chapters in it, and most months have 31 days in them. So here's a way that we could be in the Word together as a church family, as a church community, on whatever day of the month it is. So for example, today's the 6th, is that you be in, like, you just read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds with that day. So today we'd be reading Proverbs chapter 6, and I just invite you to pay attention to what kind of catches your attention. Because the Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God. So a little phrase, a little word, a little idea kind of jumps off the page to you, and you go, Lord, what do you want to tell me about that? Where have I seen that in the world around me? How should I guard myself against that vice? Or how should I lean into that attribute? Is to pay attention and then talk to God about what you've noticed. So that could be a good way to do it. If you're already in a reading plan elsewhere in the Bible, don't let me stop you doing that. The wisdom is found throughout the Scriptures. But this will help you get wise. This may not. Okay? So we grow in wisdom, and we are careful with information. And that's the second point. Is that if we're looking to grow in wisdom, we need to spend less time consuming and more time thinking. Less time consuming, more time thinking. Or if you use the food analogy, less time eating, more time digesting. Because you've got, in terms of information, if you are watching this online, or if you're here in the room and half of you have a smartphone in your pocket, you have plenty of information in your life. You have no shortage of information. So let's learn to be more reflective. Let's learn to think. Let's learn to be wise. So, less time consuming, more time thinking. So that might mean, I'm talking with our daughters. One of our daughters is telling me how she kind of puts a limit of about 30 minutes in terms of Instagram. So if you're on a social media feed, you say, okay, I'm going to spend this amount of time, and then it's time to stop. It's time to stop. So whether you're on Facebook, or I've heard this, Facebook is for old people, Instagram is for young people, Twitter is for angry people. So whatever your favorite platform is, that you might be conscious about limiting how much time you're there. Or if you generally have the TV on in the background all day long, put a limit to it. It's okay to watch the news. It's okay to watch television, but put a limit on it. I'm going to spend less time consuming and more time thinking. And thirdly, third thing I would challenge us to do is to look for wise examples around you. I will look for wise examples around me in my life. I'll be listening for those attributes, you know, the attributes we learned about in James, the peace-loving, pure, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, sincere. The biblical attributes of wisdom, I'm going to look for them in the people around me, and where I see it, I'm going to lean into it. Those are the people I'm going to listen to most. Those are the people I'm going to go to for advice. Those are the people that I'm going to orient my life toward. I'm going to seek wisdom. So here's what I'm going to ask us to do. So if you're watching online, and you're commenting along, I'd like you to post a number, 1, 2, or 3. So if one is I'm going to do one of those three things, 2 is I'm committing myself to 2 of those things, 3 would be I'm committing myself to 3 of those things. Do you see how the math works? Or if you're here in the room, what I invite you to do is in just a moment we're gonna pray, and then I invite you to hold up the number of fingers that you're saying, I want to grow in wisdom, and so I'm going to look to develop those 3 areas of my life. If this isn't something that you want to do, it's okay to not put your hand up. That's okay. But if you want to grow in wisdom, and I'm challenging us today, I'm challenging you online, grow in wisdom. Seek God. Spend less time consuming, more time thinking, and look for the wise people around you. If you're in, I want to see some comments in just a moment. So let's pray, and then let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in that way. God, thank you that if any of us lack wisdom, we can ask you, who give to all, who ask generously without finding fault. Thank you that we can live as people of that promise. Lord, show each one of us what it means to grow in wisdom. Help us to seek you. Help us to not just consume information, but grow in our capacity to think and reason and process and digest. And Lord, thank you for the people in our lives that you've placed as examples of wisdom. Thank you for that. So Lord, show each one of us what it means to grow. And thank you that we can. Thank you that though there are so many things we don't know, and we all come into this world simple, we don't need to leave that world, the same world, in the same way. Thank you that you desire good for your children. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and because of Jesus' grace and mercy that's poured out on our lives. Amen. So online, let's see some numbers in the room. Where are you? You're in? We're in? We're in. We're in. And so we prepare to come to the table of communion, a place where we are reminded of God's grace, of his forgiveness, where we're reminded that God is for us and not against us, that he loves you and me and us so much that he gave his one and only Son to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, to rise again from the dead so that we could know eternal life, both in the life that follows this life and in the abundance of life here and now. And so we're going to remember him with this sacrament. And if you're at home, I invite you to find a piece of bread, find something, and find some sort of juice somewhere. If you're in the room, I invite you to take out your packets. as friends. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so, friends, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. So I invite you to partake in the room. I invite you, especially if you're at home, to serve one another with these words. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. And Jesus, thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that you strengthen us and that you meet us as we turn our lives to you. We worship you. We love you. We thank you that you walk with us every day. That we belong to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, worship team, for leading us.